This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
But when we talk about today, get your fight back, I'm talking to us as a people where maybe once you were really passionate about doing something for God. You were really in it. You know, or you really knew that this is what you're supposed to do. Maybe God gave you something to do, or he revealed something to you, or just the day that you got saved, you got like a mission. Can anyone relate to that? Okay, but then somewhere along the road, you lost it. Somewhere along the road, you stopped fighting. Now, when I looked at this guy, okay, you can see he's in a boxing ring, right? Can you guys see he's in a boxing ring? Is he active fighting? No. Okay. Yeah, his gloves are off. He doesn't have the gum thing in. I'm sure he must have something over his head as well. And he's resting there on the thing. Ayanda, is this guy fighting? No, he's not fighting. Okay, but he's still in the boxing ring, right? In other words, he's not completely given up. He maybe stopped fighting, but he's still there. In other words, there's still hope. He maybe not completely stopped fighting, but something has got him into a place where he stopped. Okay? We're going to talk about that today. Are you ready for this? Before we do that, let's all read together from Nehemiah chapter 4. Okay, so if you want to open your Bibles, or you open at your Bible app, it's all in there. Nehemiah chapter 4, it's close to Esther. Let me just find it. Okay, we're going to start from verse 1 till 20. Okay, stay with me as we go for this. Good. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing?" Okay, so for those of you who don't know the book of Nehemiah or have never heard of Nehemiah, he got this call, this vision from God when he heard that Jerusalem, the city of God, basically, was in ruins. Okay, the walls were broken down, they were burned down. When he heard that that has happened to Jerusalem, he fasted and prayed and mourned and said, "Lord, what's going on? What must I do?" God gave him a call, if you can say it like that, to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Okay? So Nehemiah had this calling on his life to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now we're reading what's happening while he's building. Okay, so let's continue where were we? Let's start with 2. And in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria, he said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore the wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down the walls of stone. Hear us, O God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in a land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs to Jerusalem walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and stir up trouble against it. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet this threat. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, "The strength of the laborers is giving out, and there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall." Also, our enemies said, "Before they know it or see it, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work." Then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack you. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the walls at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half of the men did their work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. The officers posted themselves behind all the people of Judah who were building the wall. Those who carried materials did their work with one hand and held a weapon in the other. And each of the builders wore his sword on his side as he worked. But the man who sounded the trumpet stayed with me. Then I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is extensive and spread out, and we are wildly separated from each other along the wall. Whenever you hear the sound of the trumpet, join us there. Our God will fight for us. It's a long piece of scripture to read. My keel is getting dry, but it's such a good one. Okay, we're going to look at this piece of scripture, and we're going to look at three areas today, okay? The first area we're going to look at, whenever we rebuild something, there is always resistance. Whenever we walk in what God wants us to walk, what happens? There's always resistance. Okay, so who is resisting us? Is it people? Many times the enemy works through people and we want to give them a, you know, a clap or whatever, but it's not the people, okay? Our fight is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers, okay? So never, you know, if your husband makes you angry, don't clap him, pray, okay? But we're getting there. So we're going to look at three areas today. The first one is the enemy's tactics. What are the enemy's tactics? What can we learn from this piece of scripture? What is the enemy doing? Okay? It's always good to know what the enemy is doing, right? So that when it happens, you're like, that's the enemy. Huh? So much easier. That's the enemy. Okay? And then how do we respond to the enemy and its tactics? And then lastly, we're going to be like, how do I get my fight? When I say that, I'm like, I want my fight back. Huh? I want my fight back. Okay, great. Before I get too excited about that point. Just before I start with the sermon, whenever you read scripture and you really want to dig into it, I would recommend, like, either you write in your Bible and go verse by verse, or like I did here, you just print out the whole chapter, okay? And then you just underline and you write, and it's so much fun to see what is actually going on here. It makes for nice Bible study, and if you're really creative, you can create it. We're all creative. If you are really creative, then you can do lots of pictures and all of that. Great. Let's start by the first verse. When Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. What does that mean? He was furious. In other words, if we start walking in what we're supposed to do, what happens? It makes the enemy furious. We need to remember that. Why? Because when the enemy is furious, what's the first thing that he does? He says here, he ridiculed the Jews. What does that mean? He mocked the Jews. Oh, you really think you can do that, huh? Well, who do you think you are? He mocked them. Well, you come from this family. How can you walk in that? The enemy will always come and mock you for what you are doing. That's the first tactic. Whenever you start working it, the enemy's coming and he's going to mock you. What's the second one? He says, in the presence of his associates and the army of Samaria. In other words, he was saying and mocking these people in front of other people. What happens? There's gossip. All of a sudden you're like, oh, people are speaking about me. Oh, they're speaking behind my back that what is that person trying to do? Or who do he think he is? People start saying things about you. The enemy uses that to get you to not do what you're supposed to do. Okay, what's the third one? He said, what are these feeble Jews doing? It comes with all these questions. Will they restore the wall? That's the third tactic that we see in this part of scripture. The enemy will come and question you. He will question you. He will put voices in your head and saying, did God really say that? Like the enemy said to Eve when she wanted to eat or didn't want to eat the fruit. And he's like, did God really say that? Is this really what you're supposed to do? Do you really think you can do this? No. The enemy will come and bring all these questions into your head. So can you already see when you want to walk in what you're supposed to walk, these voices start coming, right? There's this ridicule, this mocking, telling you, oh, what are you doing? There's this gossip going on behind you. Oh, who do you think he is? Or who does she think she is? And then there's this questions arising in your head. Am I supposed to do this? Who's ever felt like that? Maybe it's not me. Maybe I mustn't do this, you know? Or maybe I heard wrong from the Lord. Or maybe, you know, all these questions start arising in your head. And then the fourth, I'm almost losing my voice here. Ha ha. Okay. The fourth voice that happened, Tobiah the Ammonite came and he said, Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, what they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down the wall of stones. What is he doing? He's joking with them. Have you ever heard that? You're serious about doing something and people start joking about you? Behind your back or someone like, oh, that person, you know? People are joking behind your back and they're like, yo, you will end up like that, you know, type of things. The enemy uses these things. And maybe your friend is doing it in a sense of just, you know, making fun or whatever, but you go home and it hits you hard, right? It's like pushing you down. The enemy just used something to come in and resist you for what you're supposed to walk in. Now hear this. It says here, the Ammonite who was at his side. In other words, this guy was standing next to Sanballat, who is the enemy in the story. Now, I just want to tell you and just ask that if you make jokes about someone, on whose side are you? I know we're speaking about the enemy resisting us, but just remember, if you're making jokes about someone else, on whose side are you? Aren't we helping the enemy? Resisting other people in their callings? If we are gossiping, aren't we helping the enemy in resisting people to walk in their callings? So not just can we see what the tactics are against us to walk in God's calling, we're also seeing today how we help the enemy to resist other people walking in what they're supposed to walk, right? Okay, that's a good point to hold on to. Then later in the chapter, we see again, stuff happening. They're resisting again, but now it says, but when Sanballat, Tobiah, this was the first two in the first piece of scripture, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the people of Ashdod heard that the repairs of Jerusalem's walls had gone ahead and that the gaps were being closed, they were very angry. They were very angry. Can you see what happened from the first piece of scripture to later? All of a sudden, the enemy increased. You know, what happened here is that they came and resisted Nehemiah and building. Nehemiah responded, and we're going to get to that now, but then they doubled the enemy. They doubled it. I think sometimes we're like, yeah, I got that. Oh, thank you, Albert. Sometimes we resist the enemy, right? We know, oh, that gossip, I'm not going to listen to that. Oh, you know, that joking, I'm not going to let that get me down. I respond. But then the enemy comes again. And he brings his friends. And he doubles the attack. Eh? Sometimes that happens. And then he says, they all plotted together. So guys, when we start to walk in what God is calling us, it's something that is given us. Then what happens is that all different stuff in our lives seems that all of that is coming against us. It just seems that there's too many things that's coming against me. They're plotting it together. Why? Why? Because that gets us down. I mean, if it's just one person saying to me, no, 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 you'll not make it. Then I'll be like, I'm going to listen to you. I can do this, you know. But then when it's this one and that one and this one and that speaker, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh man, am I really supposed to do this? And then they said, and they came and fight against them. So the first piece of resistance was just voices, right? Just voices, but now it's starting to fight against them. They're starting to resist them physically. Have you ever gotten sick when you're supposed to do something really amazing? Huh? All of a sudden you're sick. All of a sudden you can't get out of bed. All of a sudden it's this, say it's something simple like a small group meeting, you know? We're doing the small group meeting on Wednesday and just before you have to leave you get this migraine. Has that ever happened to you? Am I the only one? I remember my one flatmate, one comes to me and I said, I have this headache, I'm supposed to go to intercession or something, and she's like, I rebuke that headache in Jesus' name. Okay. But anyways, sometimes physically we get attacked, right? It's not just now, just voices. All of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm so tired. Oh, you know, or all of a sudden I'm struggling with something, or my stomach, or whatever it is, or my children get sick. You know, there's physical resistance. There's a fight against me, okay? Then it says, and they stirred up trouble against them. They stirred up trouble. In other words, they didn't just fight against them. They stirred up others to do the same, okay? So in the first thing, when it was voices, it's just like gossip and all these things, but now, what happens is the enemy or people go to other and they're like, yo, 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 just help me. That person mustn't be doing that. Let's just get them not to do that. You know, again, are you one of those people? Then you're helping the enemy. Resisting someone's calling and what they're supposed to walk in. Okay? And if that's happening to you, remember the enemy will resist us when we are walking in what God has called us to do. He will resist us. Why am I telling us this today? Because when you get resistance, that we don't run away, that we don't give up, that we don't stop what we're supposed to do, that we keep on going, right? And we're running ahead of myself again. Okay. Then Nehemiah responded, and we're going to get to that, like I said. Meanwhile, the people in Judah said, who is the people in Judah? That's their own people. That's the people building. In other words, that's the people that is among them. Okay? What did the people in Judah say? They said, the strength of the laborers is giving up. And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall. Just listen here. Nehemiah said, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers. So whoever said that, who was part of the camp building, didn't say, I am tired. They said, the laborers are tired. What is this meaning? It's meaning that the enemy will work through discouragement within the camp. In other words, people really close to you will start and say, no, 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 the people are getting tired. No, 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 that will not work. People maybe that's working with you towards something would say, no, 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 it's too much of a mess. This can't be fixed. The people are too tired. There's no ways that we can rebuild the mess here. Have you ever heard that? No, you know, people that's really close to you just bringing words of discouragement. Just saying, this is not going to work. This is not going to work. That is resistance. That's many times resistance, and many times that is a place where we really, you know, get a knock. Why? Because we trust the people close to us, right? We trust them to tell us the real truth. Like, yo, you can do this. Yo, let's do this together. I'm going to help you. That kind of thing. But when people start to say that, oh, no, no, there's too much of a mess. No, this can't be fixed. No, we will never get there. Then you really get discouraged, right? The second point. Also, our enemy said, before they know it or see it, we will be right there among them and will kill them and put an end to the work. So the enemy will come and they will intimidate you. Intimidation. The enemy will always come with intimidation. Okay, say you're busy with some kind of work, other people will come and be like, oh, you'll never get there. We are much bigger. We will come and swipe you from the earth, you know, whatever it is. Other people will intimidate you. And maybe they don't even say it, but just by looking at them, the enemy will come and tell you, look there, they're much better. They'll do it before you can get there. You don't have a say. What are you trying to do, right? And the third voice in this section, then the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times over, wherever you turn, they will attack us. Who is the Jews? I would say that's people like family, you know. They were not part of the building process, but they were living around Jerusalem. They were also Jews. And they just said, because you are doing this, now attack will come on us also. So many times when we start walking in what we're supposed to walk, our family will come and they will speak death over our situations. They will literally come and say that, no, what, are you crazy? How do you think this is going to affect us as a family? Or even if it's close friends that's not part of you. Oh, now you think you're better than us, right? People will come and speak death over you in situations. They will push you down. They will resist you when you walk in what you're supposed to walk in. And many times that thing that you're supposed to walk in is just basically being obedient to God. It's not always this big calling. Yes, God has given us stuff to walk in, definitely. Each one of us have a purpose on this earth. That is why we are separated from people that believe other stuff, because they don't think they're going anywhere after, you know, earth. But we know we're going somewhere after earth. We're going to heaven, and we know we have a Father who created us for a purpose on this earth. We are not living for nothing. Hallelujah. Imagine I had to wake up every morning and I'm just like, oh, maybe I die, maybe I just come back as a pig or whatever. What would I be living for? But now I know I'm going to heaven. I know that there's a God who says that He rewards those who diligently seek Him. He rewards us. In other words, I want to please Him in this life so that when I get to heaven, God's like, well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Huh? I've got something to live for. How did I get to this point? Because it's not part of my notes. Can anyone help me? Okay. So the voices that comes against us will be discouragement from people that's working among us in the camp, intimidation from our enemies, and then people closest to us will start speaking death over us, or our situation, or our work, or our calling. Okay? So what do we do? Did you get a good understanding of some tactics of the enemy? Could you identify some stuff in your life where you get discouraged, right? We're like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. Where things happen, and sometimes we get angry at the people. But don't get angry at the people. Our fight is not against people, okay? Our fight is never against people, and we're going to get to that. So how do we respond? How do we respond when the enemy comes and he just resists us? He resists us in what we're supposed to walk in. Well, firstly, what did they do here? Nehemiah said, hear us, O God. What is he doing? He's praying. He's praying. Okay, let's just have a moment here. Many times we are constantly under attack and we get tired. Why? Because we stop praying. We stop seeking God. We stop seeking His ways. We stop sitting at His feet with His word. So how do we respond when the enemy comes with his attacks? We pray. What do we pray? Whatever comes in your mind. Just start praying. Just start speaking to God. And I'm running ahead of myself again. The second one is, so we rebuild the wall. In other words, Nehemiah, he had attacks, right? People saying stuff. What did he do? He prayed. And then he kept on building. He kept on building. In other words, don't stop when the enemy starts coming for you. Keep on building. Keep on doing what you're supposed to do. Keep on being honest at work. Don't be like, oh, yeah, they said that. Let me just take the easy way out. Keep being righteous before God. Keep on building on what you're supposed to do. Like for me, I had to study theology, you know, and people are like, oh, what are you doing? What can you do with that these days? That's not going to mean anything. You won't get a salary. Whatever. What must I do? I keep on studying. Why? Because God has given me this to do. We don't stop when those things come. We keep on going, right? The third thing is, they worked with all their heart. It's difficult when you have resistance in what you're doing to do it with all your heart. But we pray, we keep on building, and we do it with all our heart. Why? Because I'm not doing this for me. Right? I'm not fighting this battle just for me. I'm doing this for God. I'm doing this for God, so I'm going to do it with all my heart, no matter what the people are saying. No matter the resistance, no matter the voices that are coming against me. Can anyone relate to this? Amazing. Then later on, we see Nehemiah respond again, and he said, but we prayed. Do you think he's telling us we must pray? I think so. Okay. But we prayed to our God and posted a guard day and night to meet the threat. What does that mean for us today? Sometimes thoughts come into our mind like, you can't do this, you'll never make it. Da, 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 da. Then we have to post a guard in our mind and say, whenever the thoughts come, I'm going to say, stop it. Huh? I'm going to make an active decision that I am not going to listen to those lies. I'm going to make an active decision that I'm not going to listen to that discouragement. I'm going to make an active decision that whenever the enemy comes, that I will not respond with anger. Say, for instance, when someone says or discourages me, I will not respond with putting like a bad joke back, isn't it? Someone jokes about me, I've got one for you also. I make an active decision. I'm not going to do it. I post a guard. Right? In my mind, I post a guard. I will not stand for this. I will not go to that place. Right? And then lastly, how did Nehemiah respond after all the voices that came against him? Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. And after I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, officials, and the rest of the people. Okay, firstly, what did he do here? He recognized the gaps. He recognized the gaps. In other words, for us, we need to recognize where's our gaps. Where's our gaps? Why do we fall? Why do we stop fighting when the enemy starts resisting us? Where's our gaps? Okay? Where's our gaps? We'll get to that now. But then he said, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. Okay, are you all still with me? The important part of our message today is like, how do I get my fight back? Okay? Maybe there's someone for you this morning and you actually stop fighting. Maybe it's not something for your own life. Maybe you stop fighting for someone else. Maybe there's someone in your life that you know don't know the Lord, but you stop fighting for them. Because there was so much resistance. Maybe even that person started being really, how can I say, unbearable, yeah, that can be a good one. And maybe they just started being so rude to you. Maybe it just started being so difficult to love them. Whatever it is in your life, maybe it is, whatever it is, resistance has come and you have stopped. You have stopped fighting. You have stopped fighting. Okay, let's see, how do we get our fight back? Well, firstly, go have a look at what did God call you to rebuild in the first place. You know, sometimes it's just good to get back to where, what this is all about. And I would recommend, go sit, take an afternoon or evening or hour somewhere or lunch, take a paper and be like, what did God call me to build? What did he call me for? Why am I here? And you don't have to have a big vision and a calling, you know, of so many prophetic words. And, you know, because sometimes we think if we don't have that, oh, I don't have a calling. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know why I'm here. That doesn't mean it. Ask God, why am I in the work that I'm in? Why am I in this family that I'm in? Why am I in the church that I'm in? Lord, what is it that I am building? What is it that you want me to do? Go back to that. The thing is, when you get back to that and you start realizing again, oh, God has called me to this. Oh, God wants me to do that. Oh. Then you start getting excited again. Then you start getting excited again because you're like, this is what God wants me to do. This is exciting stuff. And when you're done with that, writing it down, then you start asking yourself, why did I stop fighting? Why did I stop fighting? There can be many reasons for that, right? There can be many reasons, but I'm going to give us two. The one is that people actually, or that actually we stopped trusting in who God is. We actually stopped trusting in who God is. Why? Because of people's discouragement. Maybe people even hurt us. Maybe we got so disappointed by things that happened. Or maybe our mind just got filled with so many doubts. We actually stopped trusting in God. We actually stopped trusting in God. But what does Nehemiah say? He says, remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. I don't know about you, but as far as I know, God is bigger, stronger, more mightier than anything or anyone could ever be. So he says to them, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord. Whatever God has called you to do, whatever things has come against you, remember the Lord. Some of us need to go and say, I forgive that person that spoke those things over me. Some of us need to go and repent for how we've turned from what God has called us to other things because we got tired. We got tired of doing the right thing. We got tired of going on. Some of us need to repent because we get tired. The reason why we got tired is we were doing it in our own strength. We got this calling, this work from God that we're supposed to do, but we later on started trusting in our own abilities to do it. That is why we get tired. Did you know that? Especially people in the ministry, they get exhausted, burnt out. Why? Because they trust in their own abilities. We can't. Whenever you do something that God has called you to do, there's no way you can do it in your own might. No way. So don't start with trying to do it in your own way. Trust God. Say, Lord, you help me. You enable me. You do the work. All I want to do is follow as you lead. Follow. And I will pray, and I will be there, right? Do you get that? So go write down, what is it that I'm supposed to build? And then secondly, why did I stop? And when you go through the things, God will start speaking to you. And there will be places where you need to repent. There will be places where you need to forgive people. And there will be places where you need to stand up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Okay? You still with me? Happy birthday, Pumla, for yesterday. Full 21. And the third one. The third one to getting back our fight is saturated in prayer. Saturate your life in prayer. It's so funny, we don't want to hear this, huh? But guys, if we want to get our fight back, and let me tell you what fighting really is, it's praying. Fighting is praying. Because our fight is not against flesh and blood. In other words, I'm not fighting against something in the physical. My fight is much higher than that. I'm fighting a spiritual battle here. Right? And I pray, and I'm really hoping that sometime this year we can do a course on prayer. And we get deep into prayer. And we get to what is prayer really about. And we get to stand up in prayer. Because why? God has given us authority. He said that in His Word. But we are living in our own stuff here. I'm so sorry for myself because this and this is happening. Why? When God has given you authority. Why? When God has given you ability to talk to Him, to ask Him, to come before Him, to enter into His throne room of grace boldly. He says that. But we're ignoring that. And we're trusting in our own stuff. How do we get our fight back? We start praying. And if you don't know how to pray, you pray in the Spirit. This week, I didn't pray much with my tongue, with my language. But I prayed in the Spirit. The whole time, I'm like, you know, hugging Derek and I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm washing the dishes and I'm praying in the Spirit. Whatever it is. Why? Because I want to saturate my life with prayer. I want to saturate my life with prayer. And while I'm doing the dishes and praying, all of a sudden, God shows me this picture of that person and that person. And I start to fight for them. Not fight for them in the physically, but in the spiritual. Why? Because we're in a battle. I had this really bad dream on Friday night, really bad dream, where someone close to me, two people close to me died in my dream. And someone phoned me and they told me about that. And I was in tears in my dream. I was crying. I've never cried like that in the real life. Like, I was like literally like crying. I was screaming as I was crying. And the one reason for that was like the one person isn't safe. And in my dream, I was crying because I knew that this person isn't safe. And they died. And they were close to me. And I woke up and I said to the Lord, this is a bad dream, you know? And I started praying for that person, for salvation. And I said to the Lord, Father, give me a song, give me a song. I love singing, even if I sleep. And the next moment, God gave me the song, This Is Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. And then the chorus of Chris Tomlin goes like this, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. I was like, wow, God has saved me. He has ransomed me. He has set me free. And then the next moment, I saw that person in chains, like the song says. My chains are gone. And then the next moment, I saw the whole of Durban in chains. And I just realized, what are we fighting for? I need to get my fight back. I need to get my fight back. Okay? Let's saturate our lives with prayer. We don't have to have it perfectly done. We can just speak to God. Just say to Him, Lord, I don't know what's happening here. Help me. Lord, I pray for that person walking in front of me. They look like they're having a real tough day. Whatever it is, let's start saturating our life with prayer. And if it is for you, for your fight, start praying to God. Ask Him, Lord, help me. This fight of me, I need to back. Lord, I need your spirit to work in me like you've done before, where things happen, where the wall is rebuilt. And my third point is this. Walk on water. I know Nehemiah's not walking on water. It was Peter. But that point just came to me this morning. For us to get our fight back, we have to walk on water. What does that mean? To walk on water is only possible if our eyes is on Jesus. But it's an impossible task that we get to do, right? Isn't that exciting? When the third point, I believe God gave me this morning, when the third point is walk on water, He's saying, come on, I've given you the impossible to do. I enable you to do the impossible. Why? Because I am the God of the impossible. Nothing is impossible with God. Have you read that? Nothing is impossible with God. Do you know when He says that in the Bible? Is when He's talking about the lost. When He's talking about the rich, and they're saying, how can these people come to God? He says, wow, what's possible with man? Impossible with man is possible with God. In other words, God is telling us today, walk on water. Get your eyes on Jesus. Why? Because if our eyes is on Him, nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible. You see, when I'm looking at faces here, some of you are like, oh, whatever, but you don't know my life. And that is why we're preaching this message this morning. Because God is saying, get your fight back. Get your fight back. Get your fight back. How do you do that? You get your eyes on Jesus. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Do you know what it says, what Paul says? He says, fight the good fight of faith. Where do you get that faith from? Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So what do? We get our eyes back on Jesus. You know, when we look at Jesus, we're not talking about Jesus hanging on the cross. Because there He removed all our sin from us and all our transgressions and all our sicknesses. Yes, that's amazing. And I'm so grateful for that. But we look at Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father, who was risen from the dead. And there's nothing impossible to Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. Do you know what He's doing now at this moment? He's making intercession for us as a people. Now, if Jesus, the Savior of the world, who created everything, is interceding for us, do you think something is impossible for us? No ways. No ways. God is saying to us today, walk on water. Get your fight back. Why? Because He cares for us. He sees who we are. He sees what's in us. He sees who He's made us to be. And He is excited about that. And He is preparing us. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. And we have much work to do before Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.